Hi, this is Christopher Rudy of Cosmic Love. We have a program this week with John Fanuzzi, a Golden Ratio infopreneur, as I introduced on the website BBS Radio. Those who've read that may have found that interesting. I've asked on the website for people, if they can, to pull up the graphics on a separate web viewer, the graphics for the show that we're going to be discussing with John. And that link is at www.heartcom.org/Fanuzzi, F-A-N-U-Z-Z-I, .htm. And that's on the BBS webpage, that link. And if you could pull that up separately while we're talking, it'll help immensely, because John will be talking about these graphics. And if you have good visualization capabilities, you'll be able to visualize it anyway, but it would be good to have these excellent graphics up there while we're discussing it. I met John back in 1979 in the hills above Malibu, California, at about a three-month spiritual retreat. It was after that that John began Golden Ratio Woodworks, a business he's had for 25 years, and I introduced that in his work with developing, inventing, pioneering largely a lot of new types of spa equipment, tables and chairs, massage tables and chairs, and that information, again, is on my BBS radio page at Cosmic Love. John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Chris. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Yes, thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. The graphics really got me, got the wheels spinning. A lot of fascinating thing with the relationship of astrology, psychology, and what I call, I guess you'd call alchemy, for precipitation from spirit to matter. And I know you're an alchemist of sorts. You're taking a lot of ideas, a lot of creative genius, and put it into your work with different entrepreneurial enterprises you have. Tell me about this first graphic on the web page that we've got up with your presentation.
Well, the first one's not that impressive, but basically I started out in, before I got into any kind of spirituality, I started doing polarity therapy, and I guess that opened me up spiritually.
Uh-huh.
And polarity is a science of healing that's based on moving the energy in the body, and the mapping in the body is based on the astrological signs of the zodiac, which rule parts of the body. And there is three elements. There's three element theory, four element theory, and five element theory in polarity. So everything is based on those three principles of flow of energy. Now, I was fascinated with astrology, so I had been a student of astrology before that. And when I got into the healing work, I was amazed to see how it all fit together on the body and how the body ruling parts all connect together. So that's why I got studying more and more. I learned more probably from the body and putting hands on the body than anything else. And of course, being involved with the sacred geometry, and I was actually inspired to name our company Golden Ratio Woodworks by an article way back when I was an early student of sacred geometry, and I said to myself, I needed a name at the time, and I said, well, if the Golden Ratio was good enough for the ancient master builders of the pyramids and the artists in the Renaissance, the name seemed to fit. So I took on the name, and along with that came a needing to know more and more about what, you know, about the mathematics and the geometry and the sacred geometry that has to do with the Golden Ratio.
I guess the reason I like this first graphic, those who aren't able to pull it up, while they're listening to the show, it shows a human body kind of in a fetal position, at the center of an astrological wheel with the 12 different signs, and the different correspondence of the signs to the different parts of the body. And the reason, I guess that fascinates me, I've been a student of the ancient Chinese order of the universe, and one of the stories that fascinates me, of course, we know that acupuncture and a lot of energy medicine came out of China in the East with the Oriental holistic perspective, and that the according to the order of the universe taught, from thousands of years ago, that the 12 lower vertebrae in a woman's back, a mother's back, correspond to the 12 constellations and like step down generators to create a bioenergetic womb, and that the single fertilized cell as it goes through the many permutations of the 2, 4, 16, 32, and the whole cytosis cell division, there's a tension and a release at each cell division that within the cosmic womb of these step-down energies from the 12 constellations creates a bioenergetic force field that imprints the universe and the energies of the universe on a cellular level in a way that's like a biological blueprint or a biological clock, and this references the cosmic clock in terms of the law of correspondence to the different of the different signs of the different organ systems of the body. And I've also studied medical astrology with Eileen Naumann, who wrote the definitive work on medical astrology. There's quite a story about that, and she does the same thing, but where it comes from, this is probably, it's a very simplified, but it's probably the simplest and yet best way to, in one thought form, to visualize that law of correspondence to the energies of the 12 lines of the clock or the 12 constellations of the body. Excuse me, John.
When I started investigating the 3 times 4, I was flying on an airplane once, and I was very interested in the Ayurvedic because there was always the 3, 4, and 5 element theories.
Uh-huh.
And I said, 3, 4, 5, that's Pythagoras' theorem. So I started drawing them 3, 4, 5 on a clock, and very clearly I turned the clock around, and the 3 squared fit up in the upper right quadrant, which was the father principle. The 4 times 4 fit in the lower left quadrant, which was the mother principle. The 5 times 5 I put up in the upper left, which was the Holy Spirit, or the 5 secret rays, or the 5 senses, everything relating with 5. And there was a missing quadrant, which was the 3 times 4, which was the 12, which perfectly fit in the lower right quadrant. So there, when you're working with healing work, I discovered that if you have an imbalance in one of the elements, let's say you have an imbalance in your water element that would be right across the breast area. You also would have an imbalance in the Scorpio area going across the pelvis and in the feet, which is Pisces. All 3, without fail, every single person I put my hands on would have an imbalance in all 3. So there was this triune function, it's called, in polarity.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there's 3 polarities, positive, neutral, negative, and they correspond to Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Creator, Preserver, Destroyer. All your trinities throughout expressed many different ways, and then of course the 4 was always the 4 elements, the 4 directions, everything to do with 4. So 3 times 4, and then there was a missing 5. Now 5 turns out to be, if we get further into this, 5 gets into the secret. I call it the sacred rays, the sacred rays. Anything with 5 is really 5, fire. Everything related to 5 has to do with 5. And all your words that are related to, that have phi in them, like everything like in fire, spiral, really are phi words. The Sephirot in the Kabbalah, glorify, magnify, sanctify, inspire, all the fire words really have to do with the Holy Spirit or the Spirit. And I noticed that as you add, and it's not included in this, it's a whole lecture or presentation by itself. So that got me, putting this on the clock, I got very excited to see how everything fit. And when you go from the astrology clock fits like a glove, the fetal position shown in that diagram, and when you study astrology, if you go to the second slide there, there's an active and a passive. And the traditional karmic astrology is I've been. It's a passive mode. It's counterclockwise. The initiation cycle goes clockwise, and it is I am or I will. So there's two spirals that fit each other. And if you were to, I don't have the drawing here, but if you were to put them on an axis, one would be turning one way, one would be turning the other way, and spiraling through time on that axis.
It's like a clockwise spin and a counterclockwise spin.
Right. So that's how I got very, very interested in studying deeper into this. And when I started doing some of these drawings, I was really fascinated with the trinity of precipitation. And that's where I realized from my business the water trine. And even in the body, it's the feeling body, really rules everything in the body more than anything else. It affects the physical body the most. It affects your precipitation to bring things into the physical. And so what I discovered is when you have a creative idea or something new, it's usually created in the sign of Scorpio. Scorpio is known for its creation, its passion. Uh-huh. And that's where you have your drive, your vision, your hope. And I put the word hope there because it's hope, faith, and charity in this trinity. And Scorpio rules birth and death, and birth and rebirth. So I looked at that very in a different way than traditional, starting from your Aries or Capricorn, depending on what system you're using.
Uh-huh.
So if you have the vision, and you can hold the vision, and you have the faith, and you have the harmony, we're dealing with intangibles. We're dealing with emotions and feelings. And we don't have anything in the physical yet. When I go to the fourth slide, it says business. And basically what I did is I used it as a business. I took my business and what I experienced and put it on the astrology clock. So your new products, for instance, when you have a new idea or new invention, they would be on the line of Scorpio. R&D, your ideas, your copyrights, patents, all that stuff. It's intangible. It's not there. You go to the sign of, you have, Scorpio also has a passionate flair about it. It's you need that burning desire. And we're in the water trine if we're talking about Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. And it's an emotional one, but it's one about desire and feeling, and burning desire is what brings things into the physical. You really can't make things happen unless you really have a burning desire. If you go to
the fire of desire.
That's right. If you go to the sign of Pisces, now Pisces is, it rules the feet. Now, it also, on the cosmic clock, it has everything to do with having faith. And the dark side of faith is fear. But you have to have a certain amount of practicality, which would come in the fear side, you might say, to balance out with your vision. You can't say, okay, I'm going to write a check for $1 million if you're, you know, working at $10 an hour job. You're not going to write a check and have it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're pretty far, you know, out of touch.
Yeah.
So your sign of Pisces then is an intangible. So I put marketing there. When you believe what you've created, you go out and spend money for an ad. You go to a trade show. Then you present your product. You price it. You do all the marketing stuff, placing the product, all the marketing P's. And that's still intangible. You don't have anything sold yet. You're still in the emotional plane of precipitation. When you go and make the sale, you meet a customer at a show. You're connecting with them. You're showing them the product. You're taking the order and the sale. At this point, you're expressing your love, and you're getting ready to go through the nexus of bringing it into the physical. And in the physical, you know, you need a business plan, you need the bank, you need money to collect, you need raw materials in Taurus, you need a manufacturing facility or plant and tools and stuff. That all is kind of a Taurus thing.
So that's the Earth trine.
That's the Earth trine. And you need, of course, the details of Virgo. If you go to the next little slide, I did the same thing on a family where you've got hope, faith, and charity.
Uh-huh.
As the basis there. In hope, I probably should jump too because I'm going to come back to the family. If we go, let's take that business model and go to, and put it into a, open up that trine, the water trine. I put it into a Maltese cross, and in that diagram there.
Oh, down below the, okay, that's what, about the fifth one down.
Right.
Let's see, one, two, three.
And I don't know if people out there are able to see the images.
Yeah, it's the sixth image slide down.
Okay, so we have, in Scorpio, we have vision, conception, all your hope, ideas, passion, Pisces, the faith, the courage, confidence, and Cancer, the sign of Cancer is the love, is the grace, the flow, the harmony, the surrender, the non-attachment. And when you have these intangibles, everything has to work. Now, I've also discovered, and I'm talking, it's going to come further down, we'll get into it, that this works just like electricity in Ohm's Law. I'll get into that later.
Before we get into that, I noticed that in the Maltese cross, you've got the cardinal signs, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, and Aries, at the center, which is all of them are the active principles, which is like the love and action. The principle of you've got a trinity in each one of those four quadrants, but where they focus, where they meet, the active principle, the cardinal principles, you've got them. I notice they're all there in the center in the Maltese cross.
Right, and they're probably the ruling one that overrules all the others, all the others.
Because the cardinal side, they're usually considered the fire signs. Well, the cardinal, not necessarily fire signs. But
if you were to take the Maltese cross, and you've got equilateral triangles on four sides, when you opened up the four triangles in the zodiac,
uh-huh.
And it could fold down, if you go to 3D, into a pyramid, a four-sided pyramid, also represents the base chakra. And it also, if you fold it a different way, it can form into a tetrahedron where you've got all equilateral triangles. Now, when you're working with the body and you have an imbalance in one triangle, one of the elements, I mean, you cannot make an equilateral triangle because one of the legs would be out of different length. And then if you can't make an equilateral triangle, you can't make a tetrahedron because you need four equilateral triangles to make a tetrahedron.
Uh-huh.
You understand that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if the sun also will not make a prism unless you have an equilateral triangle for your prism. So it's very important to have the right geometry.
It's like the geometry of refraction.
Right. So getting back to the laws of bringing things into the physical, we're instead of going through the signs of the zodiac, we're going through the signs of the elements first. So we go through the water trine. All of our feelings have to be deep. Then we've got something to pour it into in the physical earth. So that's what's making things happen. When you ship your product, though, you wind up going to the point. It goes horizontal. It's not yours anymore. It goes into Sagittarius. You've got your delivery, your goal, your focus, your completion. In Leo, you got gratitude, follow-up, sustainability, relationships. Aries, of course, you got your customer service, your repair, forgiveness, all the things you have to be comfortable with in Aries. And all your air is all about communications, internal affairs in Aquarius, and communications in Gemini. And Libra, you've got your balance, all the balance, your image, diplomacy.
I read a quote the other day by J.P. Morgan to the effect that millionaires aren't into astrology, but billionaires are. It was an interest. I'd never seen that before. I know that there's a point of spiritual practicality where the higher the concept, the greater the results. But there's a level of abstraction with alchemical laws of precipitation that are kept from the mainstream because those who are using them, deny them from the masses so they can use them themselves. I mean, it's not taught in primary or high school or formal education in general, that's for sure.
And I showed this once to a shaman.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, we call that the Wheel of Fortune. I told him about the vision and the faith and the charity, the hope, faith, and charity thing.
Uh-huh.
And I tell people that you really have to say, I will, not I'll try.
Yeah.
And that really is a big difference in words. When I've had people come and say they'll try, I throw them out, I kind of tell them, I'm not too excited about them as an employer getting something done versus when I hear someone say, I will do it.
Yeah, conscious languaging is a huge thing. It's like the throat chakra is the power chakra, isn't it?
Right.
Making things physical. And, there's a lot can be read through the languaging. So your Wheel of Fortune, that's down about the 8th slide, I believe. And that's got the water trine, earth trine, air trine.
That's showing the triangles on top of each other. So if we take that Wheel of Fortune, your hope, again, we talked about that, your faith. In the Bible, it says the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And charity is another quote that I like, seek not thine own, but another's wealth. So if you keep giving things away, like I did in my business for so many years, I gave people, I just kept helping other people, and it seemed to come back.
Yeah.
And right now I'm in a different situation, so it's harder for me to have that much faith because it's a long story, but
yeah.
I'm playing with a different, it seems like a different set of challenges right now. The next slide, I kind of put some words in here, and I was talking to someone the other day about resistance and the challenges and the burdens that we're going through, not only personally, but on a planetary level.
Yeah.
And
well,
in the old days, I did have the faith. I'd write a check and pray that there'd be money. There was a little more float time in the banks
to cover it,
and praying that there would be a check in the mail on Monday.
I've been there,
and it worked pretty good. And it's harder to do in today's instant electronic technology checking world.
Yeah.
But it's also a balance. You can walk on Earth pretty good in the sign of Pisces, but it's a little harder to walk on water and air and fire. So you better have an awful lot of faith or be super conductive. And this is what led me to the whole putting this whole Wheel of Fortune, connecting it with Ohm's Law in electricity, because it has everything to do with your potential energy, which is your voltage, your resistance, which would be your faith or your practicality or your load or challenge or burden. And Cancer seemed perfect for the flow or the amperage. So,
well, this fascinates me because I realize the whole world is going into an understanding of quantum physics and the electronic instant everywhere age. And the laws, and I've always known there's a correspondence between the laws of energy and and physical energy, which would, a version of that's Ohm's Law, and the laws of consciousness. There's a correspondence there.
Right.
And this is what you've rendered in a really unique way, the geometry of that relationship between voltage, amperage, and resistance in your graphic on Ohm's Law. And can you go into that a little more?
Okay, I'll read from here because of the people that don't have the graphic, but
Okay.
Voltage is your potential energy, just like it is your potential to be something. You could either be a light bulb, or you could be a nightlight, or you can be a star.
Uh-huh.
And it's a relationship to the load that you're going to carry, or your attainment level, you might say, or your challenges, or what you are willing to take on, whether you're willing to take on some world karma, or if you just want to live a simple life on your boat.
Uh-huh.
If you tie into the load and take on more challenges and take on more responsibilities or take on a family or whatever level you're at, or take on a planet or a universe, or, you know, galaxy, everything along the way, everything is related. And if you have more resistance, you need more voltage. That's simply Ohm's law. You need more potential energy to do it.
Right.
However, you also need the wiring to carry the flow. Now, the wiring in your body is like the nervous system. You will have stress if you are taking on more than you can handle. If you can't pay your bills, you know, you are stressed.
If you got too much resistance, you got to go with the flow, bro.
So your people that are carrying big loads and big burdens, sometimes they sink in with the challenges that we have. And really what they're doing is they're raising themselves up to a higher potential. In other words, their voltage is going to be bigger because they're pushing more through. They've got a lot more challenges than the average person.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to be a cosmic being, be ready to turn the voltage up, turn on the challenges you have, and be ready to be at peace. Now, the sign of Cancer has everything to do with selflessness, selflessness, surrender, service, letting go, just total be in the flow. I call it the sign of the cosmic dance, the cosmic dancer, where you have to be able to flow with every situation. So you get to the place of being at peace. If you have internal peace, then the challenges are a lot easier to dance along with. So when I took a look at the relationship and see how beautifully it fits on, you know, with Ohm's law, with this triangle, this is the intangible, I would say, the invisible, the mother light energy rising in each of us. But this is what brings things into the physical. You can't bring things into the physical and sustain them if you're an emotional wreck. You have to have a balanced water trine. Now, water does a couple things. When you're working on someone's body, water in Scorpio dries out. You just don't have the juice. You got a desert. You don't have the creative force. You don't have the sex drive. Everything related to Scorpio is gone. In Pisces, you get cold feet. You can't go anywhere. You're frozen in fear. You're afraid of everything. And so water dries in Scorpio, freezes in Pisces. In Cancer, you get mosquitoes, stagnation, literally the Cancer. Or you might have a person that's an emotional wreck that's flooding and emotional, it's uncontrollable. Sometimes it's emotionals, so their water's flooding. Now, water's got to be kept just clear, like in a pond. Water, enough water comes, a little bit of water comes in, a little water goes out, so the water stays fresh. You don't want stagnation, and that's the key to all of your abundance. So picture the water trine of the mother, which we're talking about. Even though we're talking about electricity and water, it kind of flows the same way. And even if you use the plumbing pressure for your voltage, you know, you got your reservoir up high, you got a lot of potential energy, and Pisces might be your turbine, you know, your resistance, and Cancer might be your amperage, or your flow would be the size of your pipe, so they're strong enough to hold, carry the load. So if you use actual water, it works too. I like electricity because the whole universe is electric, and we're talking about a cosmic level here. And if we, in that drawing of, if you're on your computer, you see the picture of where it has Ohm's law slide. I put some pictures on the side showing showing that triangle of the water interlaced with the triangle of the Earth, forming a six-pointed star. Now, if you go on the chart, there's a six-pointed star that's the father-mother one that goes vertically with the two points at the 12 and 6 o'clock line. Uh-huh. That would be the father, mother. If you go horizontally, you'll have 2 points going at the sign of the 3 and the 9, which would be, you know, Aries, Libra axis. And when you, what I've done is open them up to form that into a Maltese cross. So the Maltese cross now is magical. You've got equilateral triangles. Now, when you look at the drawing, we're looking at what about this magical 5? And I don't want to get too deep into this because it's a whole, there's a whole lot to talk about 5.
It's almost like talking about fifth dimensional versus fourth dimensional consciousness.
Well, 5, I'll talk a little bit. I'll give a little briefing on 5 because 5 is 5, the number 5. All your 5 words, it's fire. It's all your, when you have fear, and I think fear is somehow tied in to fire, because I'm going to explain it in a very roundabout way. If you give your energy to someone else because you're afraid of him, you have fear, and you gave your fire to them. If you look at the number 5, the only chakra in the body is that's 5-based is the solar plexus chakra, okay?
Emotions.
So the solar plexus is 5 and 5, 10 petals, okay?
Uh-huh.
So the solar plexus is everything to do with your deep feelings. When you feel emotions or you feel fear, you feel it right in your gut.
Yeah.
And maintaining that place of peace is important to make the geometry work. Now, in these drawings, I showed the spiraling vortex. Now, the 5 is the 5-pointed star is like the whole principle for the golden ratio. The bar across, going cross, is 1.618. The side point to point would be 1, and it's fractal. I don't have drawings on here, and for those, the graphics would tell a lot more than what I can speak, but each of the points of the 5-pointed star is 2-dimensionally fractal. You have an infinite, in other words, you have an infinite number of 5-pointed stars going out. The 5, if you looked at a tornado or a hurricane, if you remember Hurricane Katrina or Rita, one of those big hurricanes, they had an aerial shot from the sky and there was an actual pentagram shown above it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a vortex or spiral unless you have the phi energy. And the golden ratio number is, it's all throughout nature. It's all through your body. The ratio of the bones in your arms and fingers are all fractally 1.618 to 1, or 0.618 to 1 is 1 to, 0.618 is to 1 is 1 is to 1.618. And you can probably, you can go and search on the internet, look up golden ratio, and you'll get you may get a little more in-depth training, but without going into it deeply, the 5 is what makes spirals. And the 5 energy, your vortexes come from the 5. If you go into 3D geometry, the only thing that can make the platonic solids are triangles, squares, and pentagrams. Okay, so there's one drawing on the bottom that shows a pentagonal pyramid in that Ohm's, the slide that says Ohm's Law. The pentagonal pyramid is a pentagram, and if you took the bar that goes across, those are the height of the legs going up. And what you're creating in is a nesting place for infinite number of dodecahedrons. And I'm talking very, I'm talking maybe at many levels, and some people are going to have a hard time with this unless they see it over and over again. But if you look at that pentagonal pyramid from the front view, it's going to be 60 degrees, even if you're rotated a little bit. It's always going to be 60 degrees. And that same thing, that same 5 energy spiral fits into these equilateral triangles that we showed on the astrology, the Hope, Faith, and Charity, or the Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer triangles. And then what's happening then, you're making a funnel for this Maltese cross. The spiral then fits into that, right into the matrix, and the nexus point becomes your zero point where energies meet and dimensions change and magic things happen at that point. It's like the point of the pyramid, the point everybody's heard about zero point energy. We're coming to a place where the time is kind of collapsing, and it's like a pendulum. You know, hundreds of years ago, the pendulum swing was real wide, and it took a long time and covered a lot of ground going from one side to the other. And now we're coming to this place where the pendulum is coming right to the stopping point in the middle, almost still point, but it's going back and forth real quick.
Things are accelerating.
Things are accelerating. Our computer world, our information is moving rapidly, and so is our time in sync with that. So what I'm trying to show here in this drawing is that
your five
geometry is fitting right in with this precipitation geometry, where you're bringing things from one plane, the emotional, into the physical. And if you look at the drawing of the pentagonal pyramid on that page, you'll see infinite number of dodecahedrons. If any of you have an experience with 3D geometry, platonic solids, dodecahedron and icosahedron are the only five or phi-based structures, and they're interchangeable. And in an icosahedron, there's 12 points and 20 triangles. On a dodecahedron, there's 12 pentagrams with five sides, 12 times 5. I've got lots and lots of work I've done on this in hundreds of diagrams, and it's very hard to put in words what's in pictures and show it, because it takes, even looking at the pictures over and over again, it's hard to describe. But what we've got is the nesting now of infinity, because the funnel or the pentagonal pyramid infinitely nests. The spiral that it creates infinitely gets accelerated, and it never hits zero. That's the nice thing about a fractal. It goes forever. And if anyone out there is familiar with nuclear fusion that was created in a test tube, cold fusion, back in 1983, I believe. They used palladium, which had the geometry of the golden ratio in it, in that element. So what you're doing is creating, our stars are actually where the points come together, where the energy focus of these vortexes creates light. So that's what their theory was, and that's what, when you look at the pentagonal pyramid and all, the vortexes create light, and also it shifts in dimensions.
Well, there's a lot of stuff coming out on fractals right now. Dan Winter's website has a lot on this geometry of the different shapes, the different dodecahedrons and tetrahedrons and.
If you go to
the principles of nesting and and fractals for people that, for you know, for what is it, danwinter.com you'd go to find that?
No, I'd say we had another site, Soul Invitation or something, that was great. He's probably the front runner leader in all this geometry, because he was able to put some of these things down into symbols for years ago in anime.
Fractal stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I have one picture there that's called Dodeca Waves. It's the third one from the end.
One, two, three, okay.
Or the second one from the end.
Second one from the end.
Okay. And it's showing how these forms, these geometric forms, in fact, there's on the left side, there's two. If you take two pentagonal pyramids and interlace them, the points, if you connect all the points, you've got an icosahedron. And inside of an icosahedron is 12 pentagonal pyramids that fit at 12 different directions. So this is kind of a magical thing, because just as the five-pointed star is 2D fractal, the dodecahedron is 3D fractal. So your time axis actually is not just a straight, it accelerates. Time accelerates through this vortex. So what we're seeing is this vortex with the five is your time axis.
So basically what's going on a molecular structure and the combination of within molecules and the whole physical structure of the universe is these geometric energy fields in motion or in action. That there's a combination, and from what I understand, that there's a geometry with three basic energies that all matter is composed of, being right, dynamic, round, magnetic, and radiant energy, which is like the rectilinear energy, the right dynamic, the round magnetic is a circular energy, or a spiral energy, and the radiant energy is like a triangular, or like in astrology they refer to, in those three energies would be squares and oppositions would be the right dynamic, round magnetic would be conjunctions where there's a blending, and radiant energy would be like sextiles or trines in your astrology. In other words, these energetics in astrology and the energetics in physiology or molecular dynamics, there's a blending of these geometrized energies on all levels. I mean, this is the way I understand it. And going back many years ago, I was really into Ayurvedic medicine also, and I found it that at the turn of the century, the Ayurvedic and homeopathic, in India, they had textbooks that, you know, that are still referenced today. The lady in medical astrology I studied from referenced them, that they'd be like 3 inches thick, and these laws of correspondence dealing with what was going on with homeopathy and astrology and the Ayurvedic medicine, a law of correspondence that they're just starting to really do a lot of research with quantum biology now, and connecting the dots of what they were even talking about 100 years ago. So it's like there's what's happening now. It's being proven. You know, when I say being proven, there's all kinds of ways of testing the bioenergetics and the electrical circuits of the body, and proving what has been known since the beginning of biological medicine, naturopathic medicine regarding different cures. They can now test in the energy fields of the body which herbs or which nutrients or vitamins that have been known, you know, for centuries, but you know that are effective. They can actually test them, and they do test stronger than other herbs or combinations. So it's like there's a proving of this going on now, and it's bringing us back to the linkage of the energetic, or you know, what was referred to as astrology, and the conceptual of the psychology and the spiritual, you know, the energetic and more an etheric sense. And I guess the reason I'm so fascinated with this thing of your charts, John, is that the dynamics of this at a very, and this is, I guess you would say, energetics 101, but the way this ties into the clock, and I like the way you take the law of the one, which is like the circle of wholeness, and break it down into the alpha and the mega with your one chart, or, you know, the different clockwise and counterclockwise spins, and then the trines, the threefold energy, and I like your reference to the pink cross, the emotional cross, you know, Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer, because most people are moved by either emotions. They buy any or concepts on emotions. They buy through feelings more so than a mental abstract or a mental conceptualization. And I think that's what you were saying, is that, you know, in any process, whether it be a business process with sales and marketing, or even in the family, you know, this relationship of hope, faith, and charity, or this pink energy in motion, or the emotion, energy in motion, is what really brings it into the physical, whether it be in business or in the home, or I guess that's what you're saying. I'm trying to summarize here a little bit. Am I far off on this, or?
No, you're right on. Energy in motion. That was one of the first things I learned about the word emotion. That's what it meant. And from my observations, I I know when people have, they got something, a burning desire, they're angry or whatever, it drives them. They get stuff done.
Yeah.
And many, sometimes we people have been taught to not to use the emotions or the feelings or and suppress them and really to precipitate things. It's very important. The most important thing is to feel it, even when you give an invocation. It's 1,000 times more powerful. I think I read in one of the master books from The Bridge to Freedom, where Kathumi said, if you feel it, it's 1,000 times more powerful than just, in other words, if you're precipitating something or sending out a thought form or a prayer, you feel it, you smell it, you taste it. Everything that goes with the emotions makes everything happen. And I was looking at the lower chakras, and when I heard, I saw a Qigong presentation one time, and the master was showing this particular master from China showed how he could make a fire. He could start a fire with his hands. He used the lower two chakras, and I'm saying, wow, what? Wonder what's so magical about that. And then when you look at the geometry of the lower two chakras, you have to bring the energy down into the earth physical where we are. So the six, again, the soul chakra, the second chakra, is six petals. And what is it? It's the interlaced three and three. It's the father, mother. It's the soul chakra. When you get your soul parts back, you're bringing back the parts that are your integrated, you know, the vertical bar of the cross, if you will, of your internal principles. You know, you got to have that stuff in alignment. It's not your horizontal relationships. It's your relationship with your father, mother. If you had good parents, you've got all your parts there. If you didn't have good parents and upbringing, your parts are going to be scattered. So we're bringing those soul parts back into those places. But that's how to get, you know, the precipitation stuff is everything with having a balance, a good soul chakra. And the base chakra is your toolbox. It's your four elements. Everything comes from that base chakra. All the other chakras, you work your way up. So you have to crystallize the lower two. When you have the base chakra is four petals. Well, there's so many ways to look at the four. In fact, go to the second or the third diagram. It says lower chakras. I want to talk a little bit about
second,
that.
Third.
You know,
okay.
Four could be two lines. Each line is a two. It could be two triangles and two triangles forming the Maltese cross. It could be a square with one line each of the elements. It could be in a pyramid form where you're forming the pyramid. And it could be like a tetrahedron forming four equilateral triangles. So if you even take your bones of your arms and cross them and do a mudra, there's two bones and two bones. But you also have the same thing on your legs. When you sit in a lotus position, you're crossing two and two. So that may be very much like having two halves of a pyramid where you've got, you put them together and you got an octahedron. We're talking about all these things morphing up into dimensional shifts and fitting like a glove. And these are the building blocks to make things, bring things into the physical.
So the balance, the fire, air, water, and earth, I guess the key thing is the integration. The key to integrity is integration of all the keys with the balance. And then I think you said something at the beginning about when any one of them's out of balance in the healing process,
right,
it doesn't work, or it doesn't work as well.
Well, you can't make any geometric solid unless you have, first of all, to make a tetrahedron, for instance, you need all four triangles equilateral. Otherwise, the puzzle doesn't fit. If you want to make a cube, you need four squares that are equal. If you want to make a star tetrahedron, you know, you need a combination of both, fire, you know, father, mother, fitting perfectly. Now, this so deep, the sacred geometry is amazing how everything nests. I'll go through this quickly just as an eye-opener for the future. I plan to come out with several books on this with the diagrams. But your let's say your base, your octahedron, and your tetrahedron both fit inside of a cube. A star tetrahedron, which is two interlaced tetrahedrons, and it's shown on the upper drawing for the soul, that star tetrahedron also fits inside of a cube. And if you take the 5 geometry, now we're talking it's not on this drawing, but the solar plexus chakra is 10 petals, so we're bringing the 5 into it. Now, 5 times 12, you've got the 12 faces of a dodecahedron, and there's 12 faces times 5, so...
Yeah, this dodecahedron, you know, I was a student of Buckminster Fuller for a month at his World Game Studies workshop, and, of course, he was totally into the geometry of the order of the universe.
Right.
And dodecahedron was one of his favorite, he would wax poetic for hours about the dodecahedron.
Well, the dodeca is so cool because all of there's 5 cubes that nest inside of a dodecahedron. Inside the cube nests the tetrahedron, it nests the octahedron. So everything, and also the inside of your icosahedron nests infinite dodecahedrons, and it's so cool how everything just fits together. And basically, I would consider the dodecahedron geometry.
The heart chakra?
The heart, because you can fit a tetrahedron. The tetrahedron is 3 times 4, so you're getting the 3 times 4, 12 energy of the heart, the 12 petals, all crystallizing. But they can't crystallize if one of the elements is out of balance. So you need the balance in your body.
Well, that's amazing. I think that the future of medicine and healing, at least with energy technology, we'll be able to do a quantum thing like in Star Trek when they held up in the movies where they'd hold up a little tricorder and do an energy field reading of the body.
Right.
I mean, initially they'll hardwired in connection to the body, but they will read these energies and where the energies of the different chakras are in harmony or dissonance, or, you know, where there is dissonance in the body. And of course, there's technologies now that are doing that, but it's largely suppressed by the chemistry of disease paradigm rather than the energy of health paradigm. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, when I go back to the drawing that I made on, I actually did this last night, and
which one was that? The bottom one.
On it says quad Ohm's law, putting on a chart.
Okay.
And I took the astrology chart. And the signs of the zodiac are 12 signs going around.
Yeah.
And for those who are a little bit technical, Ohm's law is, you know, in voltage, you've got voltage, which is your potential energy. You got resistance, which is, we talked about that before, the load. The current flow is the amperage, and the power is in watts. So they fit. Those are the four kind of functions of Ohm's law.
And
they fit perfectly, almost. I think perfectly on the clock, and the cardinal points are the basics. So you can look at the chart, probably.
You mean the four quadrants of the four quadrants of the clock?
Right.
And the third from the last graphic.
Right. So as the potential energy, you've got, we talked a little bit before, but you've got the potential as the father energy. You've got the flow, current flow, and dance as the mother energy. You've got the discrimination in the sun quadrant, the lower right, which would be your resistance, and you need to have the right load. Your resistance is the load that you can carry. You have to determine what you can bite off.
Well, and that's a really interesting chart. That the way those correspond in the four quadrants, I never thought of it that way, but it's like understanding power, you know, as a function of the physical expression of potential, resistance, and current flow, and how it manifests in the physical as power or watts. That's that's a really interesting chart. You've got the formulas on there that reference the relationship in each of the quadrants. I noticed that. How each quadrant relates to the other quadrants, you've got formulas that show that relationship. It's amazing. You just came up with that last night?
I came up with this last night because I was looking at potential. We were talking about this. I said, well, you know, I've got it on a triangle, but wattage is really your power.
Yeah.
And I put that as, you know, your spirit is unlimited. When you talk about infinity, you're talking about phi, and you're talking about the spirit quadrant is the 5 squared. I've got everything on a 3-4-5 squared. It's not on any of these drawings, but a whole chart or cross that's done on Pythagoras' cross.
Yeah.
But the five is the upper left quadrant there, which would be the Holy Spirit in spiritual terms. But it's really spider. It's spiral. It's the time quadrant. It's the acceleration. It's infinity. But see, infinite is infinite. It's like
phi.
And we talked earlier about the internet. We're connecting in the infinite through the spiral and vortex and fractal fitting of all these geometric shapes of the dodeca-icosa geometry, which is, fits everything together. So we're bringing in another dimension to the simple potential, but it balances out with it's your power, how much power you're really going to wield, because power is voltage, which is your potential, times how much current you can flow.
Well, I've been really fascinated with this thing, the understanding of these four quadrants of the clock, whether you call it spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, or Father, Son, Mother, and Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Right.
And another way of referencing it is in terms of the law, or lawgiver as Father, the understanding of the law as the Son, the law in action as Mother, and the fulfillment of the law as Spirit or the power, the physical manifestation, physical expression, or the precipitation of all the above, or all those other quadrants. And of course, there's this understanding of you have a clockwise spiral, and you have a counterclockwise spiral. When the clockwise, when it, things are integrating from or following from the law with the understanding of the law and the law of love, divine love, whatever, in action, and then the fulfillment of that law, physical expressions of it. The differentiation with the counterclockwise would be, well, it's kind of like anger. I mean, anger has energy and potential, and things can come of it, but, it's a misqualification of, it can be easily a misqualification of the sacred fire. And, in Oriental medicine, anger is bad liver, and I've known people that got a lot done with coffee, but it turned into bad liver with the coffee. To where then they were just angry all the time and they couldn't do anything until they got angry and got that energy in motion. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I've got another drawing. It's not here, but showing how the two clocks fit together. And really, they're on a time axis. And one is you've been, and one is you will be. You're creating on one, and you're. It's actually, you can look at it if you're in the time and space thing. You've got. Your past and future, you're not in a conscious space. Whereas if you're accelerating, you're going to the now. It's a whole nother presentation. I think we're getting close to our time here.
Yeah, we got a beep there. I would kind of like to wrap it up. I was going to say that what the show's done for me, John, is that it's really like I crystallized the God flame, the geometry of divinity in a way that's really like a practical understanding. And some of it's abstract, I know, for a lot of our listeners, especially if they haven't had the graphics. But even with the graphics, I know this is a lot of information. I wanted to thank you for sharing it. It's a good primer, I believe, for cosmic law, prime directive, the geometry of divinity. And I think my intent was to begin the year with this. And I definitely want to thank you for sharing this, John.
Thank you for having me on your show. And if you want to send me an email, I'm john@goldenratio.com. If you send me an email, john@goldenratio.com, I can respond to your questions.
That'd be great. Well, thanks, John. And I look forward to having you on the show another time.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.